Point is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Richard Gage. But, of course, we've had nothing but bad luck today so far. Certainly Dr. Cuddy wasn't able to do the program this afternoon. Certainly this evening, why William Grigg isn't going to be able to do the second hour, both because of illness. But fortunately, we have Richard with us right now. And of course, Richard is an architect and engineer. But of course, he became concerned, deeply concerned about the 9/11 bombing. And he's put a great deal of time and effort into bringing out the truth about what really happened on September 11th, 2001. And I shall have to admit that initially I believed my eyes. I saw the pictures of the planes crashing into the buildings, and the buildings come down. And even though I was firmly convinced that the government knew the attack was going to take place, I did not want to believe that this was controlled demolition. And it took me almost a couple of years of watching over and over again the pictures of the buildings come down until one day, as I watched Building 7 collapse, the center of the roof cave in, which is, of course, what you do when you take out the center structs of the building so the walls will fall inward rather than outward. And then they took out the base of the building, and it was apparent it was a controlled demolition. It looked just like any other controlled demolition. And if Building 7 was a controlled demolition, then I went back and looked at the Twin Towers coming down and noticed how the tops of the building almost dissolved even before the rest of the building is collapsing. Why would the tops of the building dissolve? And why did it fall symmetrically? And, well, with this is Richard Gage, who's really put more time in on this and certainly one of the world's leading experts on what really happened that day. Richard, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Stan. Thank you for having the courage to air this incredibly important issue that all Americans have to become familiar with and do something about.
Well, now, basically, is there anything new? What have we learned in the intervening years since we became aware that this was a controlled demolition? And basically, of course, that those people were killed. They were killed because, of course, we had to have an excuse to go to war, first of all, with Afghanistan and then with Iraq. That was the objective. That was the goal. But you got to get the American people to be willing to go along with it. And there's got to be some sort of horrendous, certainly the occasion, something has to happen that will mobilize the people behind the war. So basically, would you like to tell our listeners your interpretation of what happened that day and how we know the truth about what happened?
Well, I've been involved now for about 6 years discovering what happened that day. And it actually doesn't take 6 years. It can take 60 minutes for your listeners to become very familiar with the easily understandable set of evidence that we were not shown by the media, by our government, about what happened at these towers. What we were told is that the twin towers came down, according to the official story, with jet plane impacts and fires and a gravitational collapse due to structural weakening. And in the case of Building 7, which most Americans, in fact, most architects and engineers know nothing about, even though it's the third worst structural failure in modern history. So we always talk first about Building 7 because people do not have this emotional baggage that they have with the Twin Towers, because so many people were killed, and this is what we saw on TV. But building
hold that, Richard, hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 in the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Already started building 7 come down. Most people don't even know Building 7, a 46-story building, are suddenly some distance away from the Twin Towers, and that came down at 5:20 in the evening, had a few little minor fires in it, and then suddenly at 5:20 in the evening, it just collapsed. And basically, of course, there were 80 columns there, in there, 80, and they all collapsed simultaneously. And basically, of course, they found evidence of sulfur there, they found evidence of molten steel. Now, where would they get the molten steel? With thermite, and the active ingredient in thermite is a sulfur, and there was sulfur found there. And basically, there was a report came out in 2004 that talked about the molten steel. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a fire, you don't get molten steel. You only get that from something intensely hot. That would cut across, and all those 80 columns had to be cut across at exactly the same time for the building to come down. Go right ahead, Richard.
Well, officials find and document carefully this material. In fact, there are devices that have been permitted and applied for. The intellectual property has been granted to that cut through steel in just milliseconds. Using molten iron ejected through these cutter charges. And this was available prior to 2001. So we also have pools, in fact, of what the first responders called molten steel turns out to be molten iron. And because tests show that it's molten iron, and these large meteorites, they call them, have fused molten iron and molten concrete as well, which takes 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit to melt. And molten iron or molten steel takes 2,800 degrees to melt. And these fires are just normal hydrocarbon fires. They can't get above 1,600 degrees or so at their very hottest. So we're looking at temperatures twice that of what fires can create to account for all of this molten steel. Well, thermite creates molten iron as its byproduct at 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit. It's an extremely hot reactive product. And this is, in fact, what is documented by the officials, FEMA. In fact, the USGS documents these temperatures, well, the results of these temperatures in iron microspheres that are found tons of these, all the dust samples from river to river in this 4-inch-thick pile of pulverized concrete and gypsum found all the way across lower Manhattan. But 6% of the content of this material, pulverized dust, is in fact iron microspheres. It's amazing. Well, the only way that they can be accounted for is if there were several tons of thermite incendiaries going off under fairly explosive conditions, which we see in the World Trade Center towers, and the byproduct of thermite, the liquid molten iron, is dispersed like an aerosol, and it cools in these droplets of spheres that are usually about the diameter of a human hair and fall with all the dust. This is the only rational explanation for all these spheres. In fact, the USGS and environmental firms like R.J. Lee, who document all these spheres, have no explanation for them. They don't even offer such a thing, although they say there's so many of them, it's characteristic. In other words, it's not even World Trade Center dust unless the dust has all of these unexplained spheres in them. Well, they have also in them the evidence of thermite, including aluminum and silica and other oxygen and carbon, other elements associated with the byproduct of thermite. Now, the problem is that there is also found in all this dust small red ray chips by this independent team of scientists led by Neil Parrott, chemistry professor in Copenhagen. They find in these red-gray chips, in the red side, they zoom in with an electron microscope and find extremely small particles of iron oxide and aluminum powders. These are the elements of thermite. They're found in all the World Trade Center dust samples, these chips, of these particles, which are in the perfect proportion, 3/4 to 1/4, to become thermite. This is the ingredients of thermite should not be found in all the dust samples of World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. And furthermore, when they put these chips in a heater, they ignite at 420 degrees centigrade, and they produce what? They produce the same iron spheres that are found in all the World Trade Center dust. So this chain of evidence is very, very tight. And in fact, this is extremely sophisticated material that is only made in the most advanced defense contracting laboratory. So we have a very strong case for the demolition of all three skyscrapers by thermite incendiaries, what's called super thermite, at this scale, because these particles are nanoscale. At the nanoscale, they're 1,000 times smaller in the human hair. And this is engineered from the atomic scale up. Very, very sophisticated process. So we know where we really need to point the start of an investigation to those few companies in the United States, by the way, who can create this material. And yet the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, claims they found no evidence for explosives. Yet they brought in these individuals from these defense contractors who were responsible themselves for developing nanothermite earlier on before 2000. So they're certainly capable of finding these materials in the dust, as was this independent team of scientists.
Well, no, basically, why certainly wasn't this brought out of the 911 Commission report? We had a 911 Commission headed by Tom Keene, and certainly several people worked for the government, why didn't they bring all this out?
Well, there's a lot that they didn't bring out, including the fact that of the largest the third largest skyscraper destruction in history, World Trade Center 7, they didn't even mention it in what is supposed to be the fullest accounting of the events of 9/11. They didn't account for the hundreds of witnesses, first responders, that were testifying as to explosions inside and outside of the Twin Towers and even Building 7. And hundreds of other witnesses of who were policemen and newspaper reporters and common citizens hearing explosions, bands of explosions described by the first responders, nothing like a belt, all the way around the towers at the onset of destruction. And the commission report didn't talk at all about the lateral distribution, the incredible lateral projectile distribution of the 4-ton structural steel sections at 60 miles an hour laterally landing up to 600 feet away. Almost the entire content of these buildings was distributed well outside of the base of the building. There's only a 2-story pile or so of core columns and perimeter columns. We're missing at the base of each of these towers, which the 9/11 Commission report failed to discuss also, 110 floors, which in any kind of a gravitational collapse should have been found somewhere at the bottom, stacked up 20 stories high. But no, it's all missing. In fact, that concrete, 90,000 tons of it, is pulverized in midair well before gravitational potential energy can be developed and crushing it at the bottom.
And I think it's pulverized. I think it's important people understand that there are 1,000 bodies they've never found any trace of. If certainly this had been a collapse, as we've been told, the bodies would have been crushed. But it looks like they were vaporized. Certainly, they just never found any evidence of 1,000 bodies. How could you make 1,000 bodies disappear? The 9/11 Commission was a cover-up. Go ahead, Richard.
That's a good point. In fact, we have 700 bone fragments, a half an inch long, found on top of the nearby skyscraper, Deutsche Bank building. Well, this is incredible. How did they get so small? How are they found all the way over there? And 6,000 pieces of bodies were small enough to fit into test tubes. I mean, only 300 whole bodies were found. And you're absolutely right. 1,141 victims were completely vaporized, not a trace.
I was just going to say, you know, the American people have to understand this is one of the greatest cover-ups of all time. If you work for the government, you sign a secrecy agreement that you will never reveal what you know. If you do, you'll end up like Mr. Manning did, tortured for several years before he went on trial. He was the one, of course, who supposedly released all the information to WikiLeaks. But I have talked to government agents, people who work for the government and the military, and they will tell you they have to sign all these agreements. They will never tell the truth. They will never reveal what they know. And this is why you're not getting the truth to this very day. I actually talked to the number one man in charge of cleaning up Building 7 afterwards. He was there the day afterwards. He told me he was 99% certain that was a controlled demolition. And you can actually hear my interview with him on our 4-tape set. Why did the building come down? Why did the buildings come down?
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Richard is simply saying that if you watch the Twin Towers come down and watch the North Tower, there's 12 floors above the point where the airplane hit, and as the tower begins to come down, of course, the whole idea is that the weight of the tower up above simply drives the rest of the building down, the so-called pile driver theory. But if you look at it, you see basically that the upper stories disintegrate. I mean, they just, as you're seeing there, you're looking at them, they're disintegrating, and certainly it's all being blown laterally. That is what's driving this thing down. Basically, the upper part sort of disintegrates, and then each floor begins to disintegrate below that. And basically, certainly the cement in those each floor, which these floors are made up of cement, they're simply vaporized. How do you do that, you know, if this is a pile driver? Of course, it's not. But it's so easy to convince people that, of course, that's what happened, because everybody says that's what happened. And since they control the media, they largely control what the American people think. And if you doubt that they control the media, you need to get a book we carry called The New Media Monopoly, written by a radical left-wing professor at the University of California. Very nice man. I've talked to him. Professor Ben Bagdikian, of course, he's convinced that the right wing controls the media, and he tells you six corporations control it. He lists the whole thing, The New Media Monopoly, a very important book. Of course, the people on the right think that the left controls the media. They're all wrong, but that's neither here nor there for the purpose of this discussion. The thing is that when everybody tells you that what you're seeing is the pile driver effect, the tops of the building driving the building down, you initially accept it, because the alternative is that somebody killed all those people intentionally and maliciously, and most people just don't want to believe anything could be that evil. But ladies and gentlemen, having watched those buildings come down many times, after when you suddenly realize what's going on, you suddenly realize they did kill them. You don't want to admit it, but that's what happened. And that's what Richard Gage is trying to get out, that we've been lied to about what happened, and almost 3,000 people died that day. And I believe it was so we could have an excuse to go to war. Our telephone, well, go right ahead, Richard. Let's get your thoughts on the rest of it. Go ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The question comes up, of course, who is they? And could Al-Qaeda, for instance, have access to three of the most highly secure buildings outside the Pentagon? Probably not. Most rationally thinking people would not allow that as a possibility, particularly in Building 7, where you have the CIA, the IRS, the Department of Defense, Mayor Giuliani's Office of Emergency Management, a highly secure bunker that is responsible for handling any kind of an emergency in New York. So we're talking about probably some sort of an inside operation. And the question comes up, of course, well, wait, how could they have gotten all of these explosives into these buildings? Well, I mean, there were tens of thousands of occupants, admittedly, in these buildings. We know, though, that there was an opportunity for them to have access to the elevator shaft, which could have given access to the core columns and beams in these buildings. In fact, there was an elevator modernization going on the 9 months prior to 9/11. ACE Elevator had this contract, and this would have given them such access as an undercover operation. So we don't know. We're just speculating. We're certainly calling for an investigation of that elevator company and the security company, under whose noses would have had to be delivered hundreds of tons of very high-tech incendiaries and explosives and devices. They wouldn't need miles and miles of wiring. These are probably radio-controlled devices. So we're wanting a real investigation here, one that acknowledges the molten metal seen by many first responders as well as structural engineers. In fact, Leslie Robertson, the structural engineer for the World Trade Center himself, documents molten steel like a river.
Well, basically, of course, is there anyone in Congress who has the courage to ask for another investigation? We know something's very peculiar, because when the 9/11 Commission met, the president refused to testify under oath. President George Bush refused to testify under oath. He would only appear if he could testify without oath, and if he could have Dick Cheney there with him, he would not testify by himself. He certainly would not testify under oath. Why would the president refuse to testify under oath, unless it was something that he wanted to conceal? Well, right now we have a different administration. You'd think that President Obama would want to get to the truth, but apparently there's still an organized effort to conceal the truth. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Richard points out that there have been over 100 certainly fires, major fires and skyscrapers over the last 100 years. Never once did any one of these buildings actually fail. There might have been a few bent beams here and there, but they were all repaired. Never has one building come down, major skyscraper, a certainly steel-reinforced building come down because of fire, and yet on September 11, 2001, not one came down. Not two, but three buildings came down, and we're told by fire, certainly the National Institute, which was given the task of finding why the buildings came down, didn't even consider this. It might have been a controlled demolition, and we have to ask ourselves, why? Well, certainly, Richard represents architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, with over 1,800 architects and engineers having signed a petition asking for an independent investigation of what really happened that day. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, those people, the 3,000, almost 3,000 people who died that day, could well have been murdered Don't you think that their legacy should require that we should try to find out what happened to them? Because you remember immediately after the collapse of the buildings, why everybody got paid off. The families all got paid off, $1 million, $1.5 million, a couple of $1 million. As long as they promised to just to remain quiet after that, that was a prerequisite. You took the government's money, the $1 million that they would give you for a loss of a spouse or whatever it was, a son, daughter. And then, of course, but you had to, they were not going to be raising the issue of what really happened. And there were a few people who refused to take the money, fought lawsuits, and they were blocked at every turn from getting those cases into court. Well, Richard, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, get your information.
Yes, indeed. And there is some very important information, evidence, and video that we have created that have gone viral on the website, which is AG911truth.org.
That's A-G-G.
No.
A-G.
No.
Oh, you go ahead.
A-E for architects and engineers, AE911truth.org.
Okay.
And the video that we created that has become the most shared and watched video on TBS.org in September, and it's been aired on at least one TBS station and is scheduled to be aired on dozens of stations on the TBS system. It's called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. And in it, we have 43 technical experts. We're talking about high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, fire protection engineers, and controlled demolition experts who all testify as to how these buildings obviously came down according to controlled demolition from the perspectives of their various fields. And it's really quite well done and extraordinary. In fact, Stan, I believe you have this video available, don't you?
I think we do. I'm going to have to check on it. I know we have your other video available, and I will check and make sure we have this one. That's 9/11 Explosive Evidence. Is that it?
Yeah, 9/11 Explosive Evidence. Experts Speak Out.
9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. Well, anyway, basically, of course, what sort of response are you getting, though, from the general media? I hope PBS will play that, but what about ABC, CBS, NBC? The rest of the media, are they allowing this information to be heard?
No, it seems to be one of the most censored subjects in the mainstream media. We have very solid evidence and credible experts testifying here as to the story of the century, and yet the media is not covering it. And we started to ask questions why. What we found out is of great interest. That is that there's about 6 to 8 companies, 90% of the mainstream media in this country, and so Project Censored, an extraordinary group that has looked into who owns those companies. Well, it turns out that the people on the boards of directors of those companies are the same people that are still on the boards of directors of the people in the oil industry, the arms industry, the banking industry, the truth industry. These are companies and industries that have profited enormously from 9/11 and its aftermath. So we certainly want an investigation that goes all the way into these companies and industries as well.
I share your concern, and I hope that everybody out there in the audience shares your concern. What if you're out the audience, you have a question for our guest? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or if you're here in the Central Coast of California, our number is 464-8295. That's 831-464-8295. And Richard is certainly one of the most knowledgeable people out there, and certainly the Director of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, with over 1,800 architects and engineers have signed a petition asking for an independent evaluation, investigation of what happened. And isn't it interesting that ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and all of the other media outlets, which are controlled by what I call the Brotherhood, all of them certainly are not going to certainly mention this fact at all. Basically, of course, everybody is very concerned, and justifiably so, by the bombing of the Marathon. Three people died there. 170 or more were actually injured in that. We're talking about over almost 3,000 people died on September 11th, and nobody seems to be worried. And, of course, there was a tremendous payoff on the part of the government to all the families to keep them quiet, and most of the people took the money. Richard, do you know what ever happened to, I remember years ago talking to some of the people who didn't take money, tried to get cases into court. Do you have any idea what ever happened to those cases?
Well, Ellen Mariani is one such an individual who tried, went all the way to applying her case for the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. She was denied. Many of these cases are funneled through Judge Hellerstein in New York, and they get mysteriously shut down, even though many of these cases are solid and have very real and important questions that are being raised, legal precedent. So we have a system that's been put in place apparently by presumably the people who gave us 9/11, to control the outcome of the legal cases surrounding 9/11. It's extremely unfortunate for us who are trying to bring to the light of day these whistleblowers, really, from among the families, even from among first responders and others.
Well, Chris, very, very few people, or I don't know anybody who's actually on the inside who's ever been ever willing to come forward. But, of course, if they did, I personally don't think they'd live very long. So, basically, right now, none of the people who are intimately involved with this certainly have come forward. We do know that as far as the security there at the Twin Towers, one of the people on the board of directors of that was a man named Neil Bush. He was the brother of the President of the United States. I'm sure it was just a coincidence, though. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8292 if you have a question, or certainly for Richard Gage, who is with the American Institute of Architects and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Well, certainly, Richard, is there? We know certainly that there have been certain individuals, certainly well-known individuals. I remember there was a fellow at the University of Utah, as I remember, who was actually a scientist who'd spoken out against this, and he was actually forced to resign. Do you remember that instance?
Absolutely. This is Dr. Stephen Jones, who is one of the individuals who discovered in the dust independently these small iron microspheres, corroborating the work of the USGS and R.J. Lee, but providing the only rational analysis that exists for them. In other words, the byproduct of thermite, which is corroborated later by research that he and Dr. Neil Parrott performed on the small red-gray chip found in the dust also in all four samples that they collected independently. So, yes, this work cost him his job as a professor at BYU under intense political pressure from beyond the administrative circles at BYU, from what we know. And this story is documented in the fascinating DVD called Hypothesis, which is available on our website at ae911truth.org. He is one of the heroes of the 9/11 truth movement, having stood for truth and freedom and liberty and science when people in very high places are shut down truth, liberty, and even science in the scientific institutions. We've tried to contact the American Society of Civil Engineers many times, or the American Institute of Architects, which I'm a member of. while allowing us to have a booth at their conference, which we're going to do in June this year, where 14,000 architects will come by and have a chance to be educated. They will not allow us to give a presentation directly to their board, which is extremely disturbing. So we're bringing the presentation to their conference of architects and engineers, and we hope to have hundreds of them show up Friday night, June 20th.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I just hope you can get a lot more people behind you. But, of course, it's really a matter of bringing this forward again and again and again to the American people, because we want to forget about that. That was, well, almost 12 years ago, 11 and a half years ago, that that took place. But, ladies and gentlemen, there is no statute of limitation on murder. And over 1,000 bodies were vaporized that day in the Twin Towers. How do you vaporize 1,000 bodies, or certainly? And this is independent of all those little bone fragments that Richard was talking about. These found over hundreds of feet away on the tops of buildings. But the 1,000 I'm talking about, 1,027, something like that. So, exactly how many bodies is it that they've never found?
1,144.
Not even a little tiny bone fragment. They just sort of disappeared. Has anybody ever addressed that and said, why did this happen? Is anybody talking about what happened to all those bodies? I mean, how could they have just totally evaporated? Certainly if there had been a pancake collapse or a pile driver collapse, as they described, the bodies would have been squished, but they would have been there. They would have been intact. There'd been a remnant of them, wouldn't there?
There certainly would have been mangled, these bodies, and trapped between floors, but the bodies aren't found, and the floors aren't found. I mean, we're talking 220 acres, because these floors were an acre each, and there's 110 of them in each building, so that's 220 floors times an acre each, 220 acres of metal decking that is missing underneath all of this concrete, the metal decking, which is fluted, corrugated, that it's simply missing. This is extraordinary. There's 10,000 steel file cabinets. They could only find one. There's no desk, no chair. We're missing 24 major transformers and huge mechanical equipment for the distribution of air missing.
Would you mind mentioning, you said 10,000 steel filing cabinets just disappeared or vaporized?
Well, actually, I've looked in the dust myself, and what comes up with a magnet in these dust samples is small metal filings. So, I mean, a huge quantity of them relatively to the rest of the dust. It's very, very curious how all of the steel, not the steel structure, but the steel file cabinets and fluted metal decking and other steel elements have been pulverized to the grain of dust and small metal filings. I do not know how that can happen. There are explosives involved as well. We don't yet have evidence for explosives, that comes and goes fairly rapidly, I understand, so we can't test for high-energy explosives. Could be that these were applied directly to the surfaces of these elements in the building. We just don't know. We have more questions than answers. But we have direct evidence, certainly, of thermite and nanothermite, which is very clearly capable of causing the destruction of the steel beam.
My understanding is that there were tens of thousands of telephones there, certainly in the two stories of those buildings, and that they only found one intact telephone. Had you ever heard anything about that? I mean, certainly the interesting thing about the 10,000 filing cabinets disappeared. I remember somebody showing a picture, the only telephone that survived. If this was simply crushing, there would have been at least some remnant of most of the telephones there. But so the furniture all disappeared. I mean, that's the most amazing thing.
Oh, it is. And the things that survive are pretty incredible, too. Leather seems to have done very well. There are thousands and thousands of shoes without people in them. There are, of course, hundreds and hundreds of thousands or millions of pieces of paper that apparently flew out of the file cabinet with glass. So we have a fascinating set of phenomena that that we don't have all the answers.
Well, but the thing is that we need an independent investigation. Is there anybody, any congressman or senator, who has the courage to ask for it, you know?
No. There were. Dennis Kucinich and Cynthia McKinney were the ones that stood up early on, but they were railroaded out of office as a result.
And Cynthia McKinney, she was a leftist, but that's all right. She actually had the courage to stand up, and they went after her with so they were going to get her. Why? Because she wanted an independent investigation. And the last thing you can let the American people know is that somebody killed over 1,100 Americans. Their bodies were vaporized. They're dead. They were killed. I believe they were murdered. And nobody wants to investigate. And yet you see how they manipulate us for certain tragedies, and then we totally ignore others. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Richard Gage, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us. So what is the message you'd like to get out to our listeners across America, indeed across the world tonight? Because I just, it's amazing. I just got a little note today from somebody who said, I'll see you at the conspiracy conference in June. And they said, I listened to you in Israel. So people, I know we have listeners all over the world and countries. And it was so interesting. Somebody's going to come from Israel to meet us there at the conspiracy conference in June. But go ahead.
Well, obviously, we have an incredible problem in our country that exceeds most major catastrophic issues that we have faced as Americans. This is the story of the century. This is the scam of the century, perhaps in all of history. The world has been deceived by a group of perpetrators who have apparently taken over in the deepest, highest places of office in order to pull this off. So it's going to take every American standing up and screaming from the rooftop. Now, you don't literally have to do that. All we're asking your listeners to do is to get on your computer and send the link, ae911truth.org, to every architect and every engineer that you can find, every representative, your representative of government, the representatives of the media, and everybody else that you know deserve to know the truth about what happened on 9/11. And it's your responsibility as a listener, a conscious listener of an incredible radio program with Dr. Stan, who is leading the way with many of these issues, this being high among them and on your level of importance as an action that you have to take relative to this massive problem. Americans are called, the patriots are called from among America's own. So count yourself among them with us, please.
Well, God bless you, Richard. Thank you for everything you do, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Good night, and God bless. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour, and it's going to be open lines because our regularly scheduled guest isn't there. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment here.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Richard Gage. And basically, of course, we do carry his DVD, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We have three tape sets on this. One is 9/11, one is 9/11 Update, and one is Why Do the Buildings Come Down? And there, actually, I have a two-hour interview with the gentleman who was assigned the job of cleaning up Building 7 right after it had come down. He was there the day afterwards, and he will tell you, and you'll hear him telling about certainly how he was absolutely 99% certain this was a controlled demolition. Well, if not Building 7 was a controlled demolition, then the Twin Towers were a controlled demolition, and those people were murdered. All 3,000 of them. A terrible thing to think about, but we're dealing with organized evil. And then, of course, these other 2 hours are with a gentleman who was at the CENTCOM headquarters, I think it's in Tampa, Florida, on the day of the attack, and he will tell you that there were all sorts of simulated attacks that day. In other words, there were all sorts of pretending attacks where, of course, planes were hijacked and crashed into buildings. And it's a fascinating, fascinating interview with a Sergeant Leo Chavez, who disappeared shortly after the interview and has never been heard from since, to my knowledge. Sergeant Leo Chavez, this is one of the last interviews he ever did before he disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. We've never been able to find any reference to him since then. But that was the Why Did the Buildings Come Down? Two excellent four tape sets. Well, then, of course, I need to tell you, you can get these items by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But what you really need to do is get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness, if you don't understand that these people have killed literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, by certainly withholding treatments for cancer, by pushing euthanasia, by certainly poisoning the water and poisoning the air, you need to get my talk on population control. Population control, the covert agenda, or, and this is another talk, Agenda 21, the covert plan. So population control, the covert agenda, or population control, the covert plan, the two talks. I have another talk on planned population reduction, about a 2.5-hour talk I gave for Prophecy Club. We have another talk I gave called None Dare Call It Genocide. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you get them, we'll be glad to send you, and you request it, a free copy of my treatise on planned population reduction. It's basically called Population Control Agenda. Population Control Agenda. Now you can go up on your internet site and type in Population Control Agenda and pull it down and copy it. Or certainly you can go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and certainly you'll see Population Control Agenda there, and you can copy it. But we want you to get it and read it and understand that we're up against organized evil. There are people who've killed hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, and they intend to kill billions more. And unless you're involved, you're part of the problem, because men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Now you can say, well, I really don't believe this. Well, that is your decision, but I will tell you, or you can go to our website. We actually have a number of DVDs there that you can watch, and you get them through us. The Buildings Coming Down, people who made some of these DVDs have come under tremendous pressure. Their lives have been threatened. We have four or five different DVDs. We even used to have a DVD special. We can get the DVDs. If you want to get them, call us at 1-800-544-8927. We're concerned about the death of the three people at the Boston Marathon. Why are we concerned about the 1,100 and people whose bodies have never even been found, the 3,000 people who died on September 11th, 2001. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. The next hour is going to be open lines. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. 1-800-544-8927. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. So I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because our regular guest here, or as this time, Friday evening, is William Grigg, and William's had an infection in his leg. He just called me a few minutes before, certainly dinner, and said he just didn't feel up to doing the program. He has to keep his leg elevated. He's been in the hospital getting intravenous antibiotics, and William would be here if he could. So we just told him to lay down and keep his leg elevated. That's what certainly... Oh, and if you're in a position to help William, of course, he's certainly one of our favorite people. And Barbara and I help William. If you're in a position to help him, why, of course, certainly you can let us know. And anything you'd like to send to William, send to us. We'll be sure it gets to him. But he's been ill this last week and having real problems. Well, this is the point. Please keep William in your prayers, because basically, as we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty and our staff and our family, we ask you to pray for those who are with us regularly. Barry Savage, certainly regular here, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, the study of William Grigg, and especially for William at the present time. Pray that he'll be back on his feet and before too long. But he's seriously had a serious illness, so he'd be with us. So it's open lines, and we're going to talk about what happened last Monday. It doesn't seem possible. It was just 4 days ago, 5 days ago, April 15th, Monday, the Boston Marathon, and what a week this has been. And basically, we've had so much information, so much intentional false and disinformation put out there, and somebody's got into a great deal of effort to create confusion in our minds. And remember, our minds are manipulated. They're manipulated through television and through radio and through newspapers and magazines and certainly books. They know how to control our reality and our reactions. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But give us a call if you have a question or comment on anything you want to talk about. But right now, I want to talk about the Boston Marathon. We all know what happened. We know there were two bombs that went off. And then we heard another story. Oh, there was a bomb at the Kennedy Library there in Boston. Well, we don't know whether it was true or not. We heard, though, everybody heard that the FBI had taken the bomb over to a park and had detonated it. But then we hear it really wasn't true. And then, of course, we heard this story about the program. It was a Fox television program, Family Guy. And basically, of course, supposedly on March 17th, why they had a program there. And it was all about the Boston Marathon and somebody driving a car and suddenly running into a lot of people. And then, of course, a couple of bombs going off. And basically, of course, Alex Jones had picked this DVD up. And it was on, certainly it was on the Internet. And then Fox pulled the DVD down, saying that it was terrible to use this, and they pulled it down. Anybody, of course, apparently had looked at it, would realize, of course, somebody had taken and pasted this together. who had time to do that and get that up? And why would they do that? They'd taken actually clips from one legitimate Family Guy DVD, and then, of course, they'd put in other things. So as you would say that there were bombs there at the Boston Marathon. Why would they do that? Why would Fox pull it down? They should have left it up so people could check and see it was fraudulent. But there's so much being done intentionally to confuse us. The story about the principal of the school at Sandy Hook who was killed there the day of the massacre, and yet supposedly he was running at the Boston Marathon. Why would somebody put that up on the internet? And then so many other stories, quite frankly, fraudulent, but they were there for a purpose. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with gold, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. It's Open Lines, and right now we're going to be talking about the bombing at the Boston Marathon. Ladies and gentlemen, this was just 5 days ago. Basically, it was on Monday, April 15th, that the bombing took place. And basically, it's been a very eventful week. And as you know, they've captured one of the bombers, so-called bombers, is dead. The other has been captured. And basically, probably these were the people who were involved. But the question is, why was there so much confusion about what had happened? And basically, of course, we have this story. Basically, it's some squeamish woman was handing out packets to the people who are going to be running in the race from other areas, and she was telling them that if you run in this race, you're going to be killed. And this story is certainly up on the internet. You can get it. And then, of course, there were the stories about the bomb-sniffing dogs that were there. And basically, this is a fairly very reliable story. Some fellow named Ally Stevenson from the Mobile University of Mobile, and he was a cross-country coach, and he was running in the race. And basically, he was actually said that he runs in a lot of races, but he noticed people on the roofs. I mean, certainly obvious people up on the roofs watching what was going on, obviously look as if looking for some sort of a terrorist activity. He noticed the bomb-sniffing dogs, and apparently there were bomb-sniffing dogs at both the beginning and the end of the race. And then, of course, there were talks about lots of police officers there and announcing that this was just a drill, there was nothing to worry about. The officers were there, but lots of them were there on some sort of a drill, simply as if a bomb was going to go off. And that really doesn't make sense. What is this really all about? And then, of course, Alex Jones had some very amazing pictures. And these were obviously people affiliated with an intelligence gathering agency, sort of a private police force. And they had suddenly a satellite car. And they were all wearing black jackets. And they were certainly talking on their cell phones. And you'll see the pictures on Alex's website. Obviously, there were people there that were there for a specific purpose. They were not there simply to watch the race. They were there for another purpose. What were they doing there, and who were they? And of course, the government said, don't pay any attention to that. We have the pictures. We have the pictures of the terrorists, and apparently they did. One of the most interesting things about this whole story was an article that appeared 2 days ago in a WorldNet Daily. Of course, WorldNet Daily is run by our friend Joe Farah, and he does an excellent job. And certainly, I think Joe would never print anything that he didn't believe. Certainly, was worthy of being printed. But apparently, somebody had contacted WorldNet Daily from the Iranian Intelligence Department over in Iran. And somebody had contacted WorldNet Daily and said that the bombing had been coordinated, the marathon bombing, had been coordinated by Iran. And basically, this was to retaliate against America for funding terrorism over there and trying to overthrow their government and putting all sorts of sanctions on them. But that Iran had actually hired Al-Qaeda and some of the other terrorist organizations to carry out the bombing. And they'd actually planned this, of course, the bomb to go off there at the end of the race because they knew that there'd be pictures being taken. And then those pictures would be shown all over the world. And people all over the world would know that America was under attack. It was a very convincing article, and you'll find it up on WorldNet Daily. But of course, I don't think it was true at all. I think it was disinformation that was intentionally fed to Joseph Farah. And I'm not suggesting he shouldn't have printed it. I think that when you have something where you think you have a legitimate source, but it wasn't. And so basically, it's almost as if somebody was coordinating a large number of various reports to confuse the American people. And we saw that. We've seen this so many times with other instances, whether it be the 9/11 attack, so much of the information that was put out at the time of the 9/11 attack was simply fraudulent. And they do this repeatedly over and over again to confuse you with all sorts of information, extraneous information, so that you won't be able to think clearly. What do you think that we really can say? And we can say legitimately, and incidentally, this is open lines, and we have nothing really prepared. William Grigg was suddenly ill this evening, couldn't come with us, so we have nothing prepared, and we're just going to be talking. But we'd really like you to call in, would like to know what you think. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. But one thing I think is that it is true. And certainly I don't think that the principal of the school at Sandy Hook, who was killed on the day of the massacre there, came back to life and was running at the Boston Marathon. That was obviously a totally fraudulent story, which somebody put to a great deal of effort to get it and get the pictures, old pictures and new pictures of this woman who's supposedly running in the marathon race, even though she was dead. And certainly so many of the other stories are designed to confuse us with information, extraneous information, so you can't focus. But I think one report is legitimate, and that is, of course, the report basically by this cross-country coach from the University of Mobile, who actually talked about all of the people that were up on the roofs of the buildings. He said, you know, I've run a lot of races. I've never seen security like we saw that day. And he saw the bomb-smoking, sniffing dogs, stood at the beginning of the race and at the end of the race. And he actually completed the race some time before before it was finished, before the bombs went off. But certainly this seems to be very legitimate. Several people reported on the people, police officers, who were saying, yes, we're having a bomb drill, nothing to worry about. So supposedly they announced this with microphones. So why were the bomb-sniffing dogs there? Why were certainly there so many police officers there? Why were there people up on the roofs? And certainly the pictures that Alex Jones had on his website, and this is something called, I think it's called the CRAFT. It's a specific agency. It's sort of like a private police force, a private intelligence gathering agency. It uses all sorts of sophisticated technology and satellites and satellite communication. Alex had excellent pictures of them. So what were they doing there at the Boston Marathon? Well, let me simply give you a little history. Basically, today, everything you do is monitored. Every telephone call you put in, every email you send, every certainly fax you send is all monitored by the government. And basically, of course, this is Project Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, has nothing to do with terrorism. They were doing this long before we ever had any terrorist attack. And this is part of a program of monitoring you from the cradle to the grave. They have dossiers on you. They're taking care of. Certainly you have an FBI dossier, CIA dossier. You have a Department of Homeland Security. You have a DARPA dossier. And basically, they all coordinated through the fusion centers. Look them up on the Internet. They're fusion centers all across America where they coordinate your dossier, ladies and gentlemen. They have a dossier, and they know everything about you. So basically, everything you do on the Internet is carefully regulated. And believe me, certainly these two boys from Chechnya, the brothers, certainly they wouldn't know how to build a bomb. Certainly a sophisticated bomb that is designed by Al-Qaeda. How do they know how to build it? They probably got the information off the Internet. And if they got it off the Internet, the government tracks that. The government tracks everybody who goes to those sites to know who they are. And you go to that site, they're going to put you under surveillance. Why? Because the only reason you'd go to that site is you're thinking about building a bomb, and they're going to know it. And they have been doing this, I remember, 50 years ago, when I certainly was just going into medical practice. There was a doctor, a urologist next to me. His name was Bob Crompton. He'd been in the military, he'd been in this ski patrol with the military. He had a couple of sons in the military. He was concerned about the danger of a communist takeover of America, as was I at the time. I was young and naive. I didn't understand the Brotherhood of Darkness at the time. But basically, of course, Bob Crompton answered saw an article in a gun magazine saying, would you like to know how to convert a semi-automatic rifle to an automatic rifle? And so he answered the ad, and within a week, he had a visit from the FBI. It was obviously a plant article. The FBI had put the article in the gun magazine so they could track on who wanted to know how to make a semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon. He told them, quite frankly, I'm afraid the communists are going to take over. And that was the end of it. But I will tell you, at that time, I personally know people who had their homes searched by the FBI looking for certainly semi-automatic weapons or other weapons at that time. And basically, so that they were watching 50 years ago. And if you think for 1 minute that those young men could have gone onto the onto the Internet and pulled down information on how to build this bomb without the government knowing them and placing them under surveillance, I think you're sadly mistaken. And I think that the government knew there was going to be an attack. And I think that's why the bomb-sniffing dogs were there. I think that's why the people were on the roofs. I think that's why the people certainly were there from Kraft, this surveillance, private surveillance company. I think they knew there was going to be an attack. And they were there. Now, whether they're going to try to stop it or observe it, I don't know. I don't have any inside information other than certainly there were bomb-sniffing dogs, and I'm sure the government knew. And within a couple of days, they had the pictures of these people, just exactly like after 9/11. You remember after September 11th attack? The day after the September 11th attack, they had the pictures of all of the 19 bombers. They had no idea who was going to do the bombing, but the day afterwards, they had pictures of the 19 bombers and their life histories. How could they have gotten it that quickly? Ladies and gentlemen, they knew who the bombers were long before September 11th, and they had their pictures already, and I think they knew exactly what was going to happen. Now, this is all conjecture on my part. Well, it's open lines, or we're going to go to our callers at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll get to Bill. We'll get to Dee. Give us a call if you have a question or comment on any subject you'd like. Well, we've got Bill from Tri-Cities. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
Hi. I was just going to say that I think that this entire thing is horrible because, you know, it just recreates the mass trauma mindset in the public, and there are already 1,000 military bases all around the world and several wars that have been protracted, including Afghanistan, which continues. And, you know, just about the time that people get sick of the wars or start to think, why in the world does the United States still occupy Afghanistan, then magically the media has another event that can recapitulate the state of siege mentality. And, you know, it just seems too convenient because of all the money that is made off of war. And these people that they are having shown on the media just look like incompetent people that wouldn't be able to do such a thing without some kind of assistance or being, you know, purposefully allowed to do it somehow. It's just there's been too much corruption exposed by this government to believe these media stories anymore.
Well, I certainly agree basically with your basic thesis, Bill. And certainly people do make a lot of money off of war. But basically, if you study war, as I have, you find out that the real reason behind all of this, in addition to making money, but money is not the major objective. The real reason is to bring about a world government. That was the reason for World War I. In fact, basically, I have a wonderful book written by a fellow who is really part of this whole movement. He was a friend of Colonel House's. Colonel House had actually sent him to Versailles, you know, to actually go over all the treaties there. And we have a book he had written after this, totally disillusioned. He was all in favor of World War One thing. It had to do with international law, and we were going to certainly stop wars, and we had to have honorable governments. And after he got through, his job was to look at all the treaties having to do with Palestine. And he found out that the British had promised to give Palestine to the French, they'd promised to give it to the Arabs, they promised to give it to the Jews. They lied to all of them. And he became totally disillusioned, and he actually came up with the idea that the war was fought for money. Now, this is World War One. And then, of course, he meets people from a secret society, and they actually ask him to put them in touch with Colonel House. They're part of a British secret society, and they're known as the Round Table. And they ask this fellow to put them in touch with Colonel House. And basically what they want to do is have America take over control of this movement towards a world government. And when he tells them, well, certainly, I mean, this terrible war fought for profit, they say, no, you don't understand. Certainly we had to work with all these companies, but the real reason for the war was to bring about the League of Nations. This is all about world government. You don't understand. We're part of a secret society, and actually he tells this whole story, and I copy a lot of that in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Behind the First World War was the desire of the League of Nations and world government. Behind the Second World War was the United Nations and world government. And that's why we're going to have a Third World War, of course, to bring about this world government. It's all been planned, so to read H.G. Wells, Well, book wrote, I think, in 1933, even talking about both World War II and coming World War III. And we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our open lines this evening, because William Grigg can't be with us. Bill is calling from Tri-Cities, and Bill feels that all the wars, certainly are phony, they're for war, they're being fought for profit. And I simply told him there's profits to be made. But the people who are really in charge aren't interested in money. They can create it out of nothing through the banking system. The real reason behind all of it is to bring about a one-world government, and along with us, the one-world financial system, the one-world religion, and then, of course, to install the new world ruler, who will be the Antichrist. But certainly, maybe a lot of them don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, but they do understand the goal is to bring about a world government and end war. And how do you end war? Why, you fight a series of wars. I mean, that's logical. You want to end war. You just kept war after war after war. Bill, we're dealing with evil people. But go ahead, Bill, do you have a comment before we let you go?
Yeah, basically, you can see how they're already using this world government type thing with, like, for example, in Boston now, they have to look for the person, or they caught him now, but they make everybody stay inside their house because they're looking for one person. And it's not safe to go outside. But see, people that like police detectives, they could just investigate how to find the person. They don't need to tell everybody, stay inside your house, and show you black uniformed people with tanks on TV. That's all to condition you to give up your constitutional rights. There's not even protest in this country anymore.
Well, I think, Bill, everybody is so grateful that they found this culprit, you know, and so there won't be any more bombings. They don't understand that I believe the government knew the bombing was there, and they didn't stop it. That's what they had, this bomb-sniffing dogs. That's why they had certainly so many police. That's why there are police on the tops of the buildings. That's why the people that, and the pictures that you see on Alex Jones' website, these obvious from the Kraft organization, they're all there. They knew the attack was coming, and they either couldn't or didn't want to stop it. I don't know. Hey, anything else? I've got to let you go because we've got other callers. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. It's open lines. Give us a call. Anything else you want to say, Bill, before we let you go?
Yeah, I think people get way too scared off of the what they see on the television. And I think it's ridiculous. People need to grow up and figure it out.
Well, we get them listen to our programs, Bill. But God bless. Thanks so very much. And let's go now to Dee calling us from Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, Dee. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, mostly some thoughts and comments. And, of course, my hearts and prayers certainly go to the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings and subsequent police actions. As a part-time runner, I'm in a couple of weeks, Dr. Stan, Lord willing, I'm going to be running in Bloomsday in Spokane. And I certainly think of them. It's only 7.5 miles, but the crowd there is going to be comparable to Boston. We usually have about 60,000 participants and probably as many spectators. But, you know, I was thinking, I can't escape the feeling that there's got to be a connection. And mind you, this is not a justification, but perhaps it's a retaliation for all the killer drones we've been operating in Iraq, Yemen, Afghanistan, and who knows how many other places. What do you think about that?
Well, I do not know what motivated these young men, so I'm just going to have to wait and see if more of this comes out. Certainly, apparently, these young men had, though, converted to the Muslim faith, but we're just going to have to wait and see. I think as the story will come out, how much the truth we'll get, I really don't know. But I do know that men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. And certainly nobody in America is really interested in how many women and children are killed in Afghanistan and Pakistan by our drones, or certainly and they've killed them in Yemen. They even killed an American boy, 16-year-old American citizen, who was overlooking for his dad. We killed him. But that doesn't justify killing, you know, certainly 3 Americans and wounding 170 of them. You can't justify, one evil does not justify another evil.
Certainly not. But let me put it this way. What would you rather take your chances with, a pressure cooker bomb or a Hellfire missile? I mean, we have essentially an unconstitutional, undeclared war that just seems to be endless, and it's just fueling a military-industrial complex.
Well, what we need to do is bring the truth out, rather than certainly in any way justifying acts of terrorism, either by our government or somebody else. We have to be above that, and we have to stand for righteousness. We have to speak out against evil, and whether it's certainly American drones or certainly whether it's the bombing there, they're all evil. One evil does not justify another evil, do you think?
No, amen. I agree with that. Have a good evening.
Good night. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know what you think about what's going on in the world. Give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Give us a call right here at Radio Liberty. It's open lines. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean white with gold. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's open line on Friday evening. Our regularly scheduled guest wasn't able to come, so if you're out there and you have a question or comment about certainly what the Boston Marathon, or certainly about what's going on economically, certainly what certainly is happening to our country, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we are living certainly at a key time in history. This is an amazing time to be alive, and especially to have some grasp of what's going on, because certainly there is a timetable. I'm firmly convinced there's a timetable. I think that it's being followed and followed very closely. Certainly the whole world is in a recession. The Chinese economy is contracting. The European economy is contracting. They're all having real problems. I think the unemployment rate in Greece is almost up to 28%, 28%. And basically, children are starving to death. And certainly, in Greece, and certainly in countries in Europe today. And basically, we're having a contracting economy in the United States, because if you read the newspapers, you can't really see what's going on. But why are all of these things happening? Well, they'll tell us this is a cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not a cycle. Basically, of course, what happens, you have an economy, of course, you have the banks lend money, the banks create money out of nothing, they create artificial prosperity by creating money out of nothing. That money gets out into the economy and stimulates the economy and creates jobs. Certainly, but the banks are not lending money. They're not lending money because, of course, 69, almost 70% of all the financial assets in the United States belong to six major banks. Just as certainly we have six major corporations that control the media, we have six major banks that control 69% of the financial assets of the United States, and that's J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. And basically, they are not lending money out. I mean, they've got plenty of money. They're simply not lending it. What are they doing with it? Why, they're investing it in with the Federal Reserve System. They're lending it to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve may pay them a quarter of a percent, half a percent interest. Basically, then, of course, our corporations, a lot of our corporations have moved overseas. Why? Because, of course, if they go overseas, they don't have to pay any American taxes. They don't have to pay taxes on the money they make overseas, only money they make in America or money they bring back to America. So they're sitting on massive amounts of money. Overseas, our major corporations are not expanding, they're not putting in new plants, they're not hiring people. And this is all part of a program, a planned program of austerity. Now, what is austerity? Well, austerity means just cutting back on everything, contracting the economy, and lowering the living standards. This is not happening by accident. I regularly read Foreign Affairs magazine, not as often as I'd like to. I wish I could read everything, but I try to read the key articles. And a few years ago, why, of course, the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, along with another gentleman, wrote an article on the necessity of the whole world moving into austerity. Why? Well, because basically, of course, the banks, increasingly countries, are living on borrowed money. Basically, they have all of these socialist programs out there. They have all these welfare programs and retirement programs, and it's just not enough money to actually finance all of these things. They're going deeper and deeper into debt. And when you get too far into debt, you're putting out so much money to pay interest on the debt, that the whole structure of government begins to collapse. And that is exactly what is going on throughout the world today. Suddenly Greece has to borrow money so it can put out its checks every, every month, their pension checks, their welfare checks. They have to borrow massive amounts of money. The same is true for Italy, for Spain, and increasingly for France. But this is true here in the United States. Here in the United States, we have to borrow over $1 trillion a year. Remember, our economy is about 3.4, 3.5 trillion dollars, and we have to borrow over $1 trillion every year just so we can send our checks out across America. Well, there wouldn't be any Social Security checks. There wouldn't be any Medicare checks. We wouldn't be able to provide food stamps for 48.8 million Americans. 48.8 million Americans are on food stamps now. Between Medicare and Medicaid, 100 million Americans are on that. Of course, you get a lot of this from Tom Coburn's book. A lot of the figures that we have come from him. It's called The Debt Bomb, well worthwhile reading. But basically, we are head over heels in debt. suddenly, first of all, it took 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in debt from 1781 up until 1980. $1 trillion. When Ronald Reagan, who talked against deficit spending, Ronald Reagan said everything I believe. But unfortunately, he was the biggest spender we've ever had at that time. When he left office, the national debt had grown from $1 trillion to $2.7 trillion. He criticized Jimmy Carter because he ran up a $200 billion debt, certainly in 4 years in office. Ronald Reagan ran up a $100 billion debt every year he was in office, and basically when he left office, the debt was $2.7 trillion. When George Bush became president, George W. Bush, the debt was about $5.3 trillion. When he left office, it was over $10.5 trillion, and today, under Barack Hussein Obama, it is over $16.6 trillion. But Barack Obama has doubled our debt, not doubled it, but certainly added almost $5.5 trillion to our debt in simply 4 years, and things keep going from bad to worse. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically, because the reason our economy is not doing well is because the corporations and certainly and the banks, the major banks, are working in concert to contract our economy. Now, this is happening at this time in history for a specific purpose, and I think it's for the same reason that certainly for the first time in 600 years, the Pope has resigned. Pope Benedict resigns, first time in 600 years. And now we have a new Pope, and his name is Pope Francis. He is the first Jesuit we have ever had as a Pope. And what is Pope Francis talking about? He's talking about how we have to get all the religions together because we all worship the same God. I mean, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Muslim, the Jew, the Christian, we all worship the same God. Well, maybe that's the God that he worships, but that's not the God that I worship. I don't worship the God of Allah. I don't worship the God of the Buddhist or the Hindu and I don't worship the God of all these other religions out there. There is a God, one God. The Jews and the Christians certainly worship the same God, but all the other religions do not, and yet this is not apparent to most people. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. But I think it's vitally important that people understand that Pope Francis is trying to actually unite all of the religions together. And that, of course, is what the false prophet is going to do. And if you have not yet read certainly the book by Petrus Romanus, by Tom Horn and Chris Putman, you really want to. And we're going to have Chris Putman on our program next week for a couple of times. He's the co-author. And now there's a new book out, which is even more exciting. It's called Exo Vaticana. We carry Petrus Romanus. We carry Apollyon Rising by Tom Horn. And now we're carrying Exo Vaticana. And why is this book important? It is because, of course, that the Jesuits are deeply involved with the other dimension. And basically, they own the largest observatory in the entire world. It's on Mount Graham in Arizona. And there they have the largest telescopes in the world. And they are tracking the UFOs. They believe in the UFOs. The UFOs are real. They're not imaginary. But, of course, they're not, of course, from extraterrestrial. Now, the Jesuits believe that they're extraterrestrial. The Pope believes that they're extraterrestrial, these beings. But they're not. They're demonic beings from the other dimension. And people who've studied them are firmly convinced of it. And I'm firmly convinced of it. I know quite a bit about the supernatural. And there really is another dimension, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. We live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a visible world. There's an invisible world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. And these beings come from the other dimension, and they can transform into beings here, they basically, this is not imaginary. It is really very, very real. And there is this battle between good and evil. It's described in the scriptures. And certainly all of the prophets recognize this battle. It's being waged today. And the average American, even the Christians, have little idea of the supernatural forces at work in society today. And basically, certainly you certainly want to get the book, Exo Vaticana. It goes into the UFOs. It goes into the extraterrestrials. And of course, Tom Horn and Chris Putman, the authors of the book, agree that this certainly is the other dimension. And certainly I agree with them. And we're going to be having both Tom Horn and Chris Putman on here very soon to talk about it. Because there's a battle being played out between good and evil here in the earth today. But there's also a supernatural battle being carried out by King God and his angels and Satan and his angels. And this is not imaginary, and it's going to carry over into the world today. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right now, we've got Bruce calling us from Durand, Michigan. Hi, Bruce. How are we doing?
Okay. It was good to see those 10 Democrats that felt the heat in the Senate and voted against the gun measure. I wonder if I was watching CBS in this latest Boston situation there, and Bob Schieffer was on, brought up a point about how he's concerned that the people coming from other countries might not be acculturating like they should. And I thought, boy, good for you, Bob. I guess it's because he's from an older generation that he'd ever say such a thing. Here's the question. Do you think maybe this situation will defeat the Gang of Eight immigration reform law?
I don't know. I do believe, of course, the Republicans are united in their opposition to gun certainly registration, certainly having to get a background check, and I think justifiably so, and I appreciate their backing. But I think there are a lot of Republicans, unfortunately, who think that they're going to be able to get votes from the Hispanics. All they have to do is support immigration reform, and I think it's going to be a disaster. They lied to us back in 1986, Ronald Reagan, and the Republicans lied at that time. They said, look, we're going to have this immigration bill. There's only 1 million immigrants. And we were going to secure the border, and this will never happen again. We will never, never promise you, cross our heart and hope to die, never again will we allow illegal immigrants to become American citizens. And first of all, there weren't 1 million illegal immigrants at that time. There were 3 million of them. They steadfastly refused to secure the border, and they've created this problem. And we now, of course, are a bilingual nation. Did you ever wonder why it is that so often you call a major corporation, they say, well, do you want the message in English or in Espanola? And basically, there's a coordinated effort by the Brotherhood of Darkness to create a multicultural, multilingual nation because they want to be able to divide and conquer, and because they control the certainly Hispanic radio. And the Hispanics certainly are not going to vote Republican. There are a few of them will, but most of them will not. They'll go right along, just like, tragically, most blacks will vote for Democrats, the thinking ones will not, but they automatically did. The Democrats, the Hispanics are going to vote for the Democratic Party. It's all part of the program to bring about a socialist America, and it's going to come down the line if they pass the immigration reform bill, and I fear they're going to, and I think one of the biggest traitors in the Republican Party is this fellow Rubio, who's being pushed by the establishment. It's simply the idea that he's this young, handsome, you know, certainly American senator, U.S. senator, who is in favor of immigration reform, because we got to help these people. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of the Hispanic people are wonderful people, and a lot of the immigrants here, they're nice people, but at this point, we cannot afford to bring all these people in and put them on the welfare system. If people had to come to America and work for a living, fine. We have 48.8 million people on food stamps today. We can't afford it. We're having to borrow $1 trillion every year just to pay all of our socialist welfare bills. And this is designed to destroy the economy of our nation, Bruce, and I think it's going to be a disaster.
Not only the economic standpoint, I had another sadder thought later after I heard Mr. Schieffer talk. He was responding to someone saying that the boys, if that's all there is, these brothers or friends, were brothers and friends, were disillusioned with America and couldn't fit in, and that's why they were angry. whether that's true or not, who knows? But here's the sad thought I had. Maybe the immigrants coming since the 90s are acculturating. Gone are the days of Roy Rogers and Loretta Young. You know, maybe they are acculturating to our rotten culture today. You know, when they get mad, they act this way. Or when they get disillusioned, they act this way. Whereas people that immigrated back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, they wouldn't act this way. I don't know.
Well, basically, of course, the thing is, from the point of view of the people who are here illegally, some of them have children. They've been here for 10 or 15 years, and certainly they're very American. Some of them are very capable, but you can't certainly maintain a nation of laws when you intentionally encourage violation of those laws. And basically, we cannot simply flood our country with people when we have already a high unemployment level. Basically, the true unemployment level in America is not certainly what you read in the newspapers, 7.7%. Go to the internet and simply look up U6 unemployment. You'll find out the U6 unemployment, published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is well over 14%. That is the unemployed, the underemployed, and those have given up looking for work. It's well over 14%. And, of course, if you go to shadowsats.com and read John Williams' analysis, he's an independent economist, not paid by the government to lie. He will tell you that the real figure, if you calculate it as we did in 1990, is about 22% of unemployed, underemployed, or simply given up looking for work. So basically, faced with a massive unemployment in America, why in the world would we be bringing in all these other people? We say we want them to work in the fields. Fine, then bring in field workers. We used to have a system. The field workers came in, they worked, and they went back home again. And basically, they were brought in by professional contractors. They were happy with it. They did away with that program because they wanted to use immigration to destroy America. That's what it's really all about, Bruce.
Thanks a lot.
God bless. Thanks for
your time.
And certainly we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Right, son.
Oh.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners all across America, indeed all across the world. I just got a note today from somebody over in Israel who said they were going to be meeting me at the Conspiracy Conference here in June, and incidentally, the Conspiracy Conference is going to be on the 1st and 2nd of June, and I will be there. I won't be a speaker, but we'll have a table both days, and if you do come, well, we'd love to see you. But anyway, basically, this is the time when I need you. Remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener supported. And if you're in a position to help us, why, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes or CDs of the month and get our monthly newsletter. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You can get our products. We've got all sorts of fascinating four tape sets and certainly DVDs and CD sets and certainly. And books, all sorts of books, all sorts of fascinating new books. If you haven't seen our book on the danger of an EMP attack and Nation Forsaken, we certainly recommend that book very highly. And then, of course, we have certainly the books on the Common Core curriculum, the new educational system. We have a book on Psalm 83, the missing prophecy, and it's talking about the fact that we're going to be having certainly a war over in the Middle East coming very, very soon. All the neighbors of Israel are going to attack it. Read Psalm 83 describes a war, which I think is different than the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And then, of course, there's a wonderful book by John Shorey on the window of the Lord's return. When is the Lord going to return? We have a great book, certainly going into the background of how you can treat schizophrenia and certainly depression, manic depression, Alzheimer's disease, agitation, compulsions with nutrition. The book is called Nutrient Power. Fascinating information we've gotten from our good friend Dr. Bill Walsh. And then, of course, is Fanatic Islam a Global Threat by Victor Mordecai, Avi Lifkin. We have the book Exo Vaticana. We recommend that. Tom Horn's new book and certainly his book on the Petrus Romanus, the last pope. Basically, of course, we have certainly the book on Crescent Moon Rising by Paul Williams about the Islamic training camps in America you will never hear about in the controlled media. And we have so many four tape sets and four CD sets. You certainly want to get the four CD set on the threat of an EMP attack. You want to get the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. You certainly want to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, and Michael Shaw's excellent talk, Agenda 21, the wretching transformation of America. The wretching transformation of America. It goes into why America is changing. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And when you get them, of course, you will help us to maintain our network of over 50 outlets, certainly by radio and shortwave and by the internet and certainly by satellite all across America, indeed all across the world, by telephone. If you have a telephone, you can hear our two-hour afternoon program if you have unlimited minutes. But an awful lot of people listen to us on they have a UB satellite system and they can hear us regularly. And certainly you go to the internet, you can hear us 24 hours a day there in our archive programs. Certainly 4 hours a day live, 5 hours, 9 hours a day on the satellite, and 24 hours a day on the archive programs. But it's all expensive. And if you're in a position to help, we hope that you will. And then, of course, we hope you go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, read our newsletters going back to the mid-1990s. And then, of course, we once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because this is really a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield. But it's a spiritual battle. And then please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. man beside her, man guide her, through the night with a light from above. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I can't believe it. If you have not been watching television, you're probably in a whole lot better shape than those of us that have been watching television, because it's all not making any sense. More than it didn't make sense the other day. That's right. What's happening in Boston is unbelievable. The whole entire city is shut down. Nobody is to go outside of their door. Nobody is to go on mass transit because it's all shut down also. We're going to try and go through this story until we can just, until we can't stand it any longer. I received an email from Renee this morning. First thing she says, well, I guess this shot to heck your Feel Good Friday, didn't it? So we are going to try and figure this out. In the studio with me is